in our lives with clarity and passion, wonder and spontaneity, yet so quickly find ourselves in the middle or end of our lives, dull and bleary-eyed, listless and passionless. The death of the soul is never quick. It is a slow dying, a succession of little deaths that continues until we wake up one day on the edge of God's voice, on the fringe of God's belovedness, beyond the adventure of God's claim on our lives. And then he talks about this place in Mount Shasta where there are ranchers, and the ranchers have cattle. And sometimes the cattle get out into the road and get lost, even though there are fences. And he says that the way the cattle get lost is the same way we get lost. They start nibbling on a tuft of grass, and then they see another one, and they start nibbling on that. And they just go from tuft to tuft, following around, nibbling, and pretty soon they're outside the fence. They're lost without intending to get lost. And he says the farmer didn't know it, but he was talking about more than cows. None of us intends to wander from the green pasture of God's voice. None of us intends to have our souls wander into the dull and listless highway of the American way. First comes the tuft of education, then the tuft of marriage, then children, a new home, and then one day we wake up to discover that we have nibbled our way to lostness. This is the last paragraph. Listen very closely. It says, it took me 50 years to realize I was lost. No one knew I was lost. My life had all the trappings of foundness. I was a pastor, for heaven's sake. I had spent 25 years in church-related ministry, and most of my days were consumed with writing and talking about Jesus, and yet I was lost, confused, soul-weary, thirsty, and bone-tired. I had succeeded at mimicking aliveness, but I was nearly dead. That's the message to Sardis, isn't it? You look like you're alive. You look like you're doing great things, but inside, something is almost dead. But in the message to Sardis, it says there is still a little spark. There's still something that is left. And I'm inviting you this morning to reconnect to that piece of aliveness, to go back in your mind to the day that you were baptized, that you committed to Jesus. Because right now we're going to witness two baptisms, two young people, and I got to tell you, Wallace and Allie, their faces are about as alive as it gets. I want you to witness the childlike wonder, the love for Jesus, the passion. These kids are so excited to give their hearts to Jesus. So I want you to remember that day. For me, I was 11 years old. It was the end of an evangelistic series in central Minnesota. And when I came out of the water, I just wanted to go straight to heaven. It felt so amazing. And so I want you, in your heart, to talk to Jesus right now. Recommit to him. Talk to him about your journey. Think about your journey as we celebrate with Allie and Wallace. And Lauren, would you like to say something to introduce this baptism? This is Allie's dad, and he has a little statement he wants to share.
Actually, Allie is the one who wrote this and asked me, I'm honored as a dad, that she would ask me to read this for her. Allie Lally says this, I want to be baptized because I love Jesus and want to give my whole heart to him. I want to be a blessing to other people by using the talents God has given me. I want to thank Pastor Scott for giving me Bible lessons and teaching me more about heaven and Jesus. I would also like to thank my family for helping and encouraging me in my decision to be baptized. I'm very happy that my Gimpa is baptizing me today. Every Sabbath when we go over to his house, he always teaches me a new Sabbath song and verses in Malay. Family and friends, thank you very much, and have a happy Sabbath.
Blessed Sabbath to all the church family, and thank you for being here to support Allie. And in the audience today, there are some special people that Ellie would like to recognize and thanks for her involvement in one way or another to get her to this point of her life. And I would like to call upon them and invite them to stand. Of course, Ellie's parents, Lawrence and Finola, are they here? And Maddie's sister and the little brother, Cedric. And the grandparent, Larry Johnson, and his wife, Beverly. And there's Susan, my wife. And of course, there's one auntie that came all the way from Washington, D.C., and that is Wendy Trim. Thank you for being here. And Ellie got uncles and aunties too that came all the way from San Jose. And there's Raymond and his wife, Leah. Can you please stand up? And the little cousin, Yuski and Emeka. And also Jason and his wife, Javinia, and Ellie's little cousin, Timothy and Mia. Thank you for being here as well, supporting Ellie on this special day. And I was reminded by Ellie that she has also some friends from the school who are present with us here this morning. And I would like to invite them also to stand up if they're around, or the teacher if they're around. Thank you for your support and thank you for being here as well. And may you be continue to be Ellie's special people to the rest of her life. You may be seated. I'm thankful and grateful for what Pastor Scott is doing for the young people, getting them ready and training them to be useful and dedicated young people to be the future leader of our church. And thank you for that great works. Ellie, what a rejoicing it is today for English Oak Adventist Church. And also God and the angels in heaven for the decision that you made. You have decided to follow Jesus and accepted him as your personal savior and wanted to be a blessing to others to the rest of your life and want him to guide you till he comes. Basing upon that decision you made, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O de croce erigiu, dela o dia fugiu, como emblema de vergonha e dor. Mas eu amo esta cruz, porque nela Jesus deu a vida por mim, pecado. Sim, eu amo esta muito de cruz, Te mujer eu a vou proclamar. Levarei eu também minha cruz, te por uma coroa trocar. Este é meu garoto.
This is my boy.
Meu neto.
My grandson.
Que traz hoje alegria para os pais.
And has a
aqui estão
happiness
os pais,
to our parents.
E William.
Me
mais
and
meu irmãozinho Winston.
And Winston.
Temos também.
And William Jr. And we have also here
parentes
today
que vieram do Brasil.
Relatives that came from Brazil.
E aí também daqui.
And
gostaria
from
de
here
pedir aos parentes que estão conosco que ficassem de pé para que possamos conhecê-los.
Invite all the relatives are in our that came from Brazil and also Lou
favor,
and Paul
que são parentes,
and all that you know support Wallace to be here.
Muito obrigado.
To keep,
Jesus
take this decision.
Disse para os seus discípulos.
Jesus said to his disciples.
Aquele que crer e for batizado será salvo. Meus amigos.
All the ones that who believe and be baptized will be saved.
Está hoje cumprindo a palavra de Jesus quando disse, aquele que crer e for batizado. Ele está aqui comigo para ser batizado nesse instante. E peço a todos vocês que orem para que ele possa continuar animado, forte, até a volta de Jesus.
I'll try to summarize.
Meu querido
and
neto.
Wallace is it's fulfilling this, and he's
cumprindo
believing,
a ordem
and
do mestre.
The
para
his
nós batizarmos em nome do Pai,
Jesus
do Filho e do Espírito Santo. Neste momento, eu quero
time,
que as palavras do Senhor Jesus sejam válidas no seu caso. Você,
Jesus
no seu testemunho de hoje e de vida, sempre quis ser um cristão. Um preparo para a volta do Senhor. E peço agora que você
be prepared for
concretize
the
esse
with
sonho
Jesus.
Ao se entregar a Jesus totalmente.
And now as you surrender your life to Jesus.
Okay. Você segura para mim isso.
Segura?
É. Tá bom. Agora você passa para cá.
Tá bom.
Aqui.
Não
vira assim.
Now I'm going to read some words that Wallace wrote to me and I'm going to share with you.
Okay.
And as a dad, you know, I know it's been hard for me.
Meu querido neto, William, perdão, Wallace, nesse instante, ao cumprirmos a ordem do Mestre, como ministro de Deus, respeitando a ordem do Senhor, eu te batizo em nome do Pai, do Filho e do Espírito Santo. Amém. Um abraço.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, for everything. You have read the Bible to me, and help me to get know God more. I'm glad to be baptized today and get to know God even better.
Este é momento feliz para mim, que fui honrado pelo convite dos pais e do próprio menino para batizá-lo. Peço que continue orando para todos nós, que nós nos preparemos para a volta do Senhor, que está muito breve. Para aquele dia possamos abraçar os vitoriosos. É a minha oração por todos nós nesta manhã. Amém.
He's just appreciating this moment that his son and daughter and grandkid that invite him to be part of this baptism, and he prayed that we all be in heaven as we take our decision.
Is that beautiful? Amen. Back on. It's been such a privilege to study with these kids. This is the second year for both of them. They're in sixth grade. We started in fifth grade, sixth grade, and to see their grandfathers, their families surround them, come from far and near to celebrate with them. It is a beautiful commitment. And I hope that you are thinking back to that time in your life. And as we continue to think about that, I want to spend just a couple more minutes back in Revelation chapter 3 to tie this all together. So let's read back over the message from Jesus here. I know all the things that you do, that you have a reputation for being alive but are dead. Wake up, strengthen that peace that remains. So this is not a message for lost people. This is a message for us. Strengthen what little remains, even that what is left is almost dead. I find your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first when you first gave your life to Jesus. And he says, hold to it firmly. Repent and return to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Yet, in verse 4, yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious are worthy, and they will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Amen? So he says he's going to announce before his Father and all the angels that they are mine. Amen? Can you picture that? If we can recapture our first love, because we live in the time of Laodicea, we'll get to that message soon. But if we can recapture that excitement, that joy, that dangerous wonder, it says he will announce and present us before his Father and the angels. So I would like you to go back in your mind, back to that childlike wonder. And do you know what it's going to be like to actually see that? Have you ever tried to visualize what it would be like to be standing with Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus beside you? Hello. And to be announced before the Father and his angels? That's the next chapter. Turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Revelation pictures this scene. This is where we get to stand. This is where we get to go when we make that commitment, when we follow through on that commitment, when we make it the main thing in our lives, when we stop letting it get snuffed out by the busyness of life. This is what it's going to look like. Picture yourself standing next to Jesus in this scene, beginning with chapter 4 and verse 1. And this is back to John speaking. He says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here and I will show you what must happen after this. And instantly I was in the spirit and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne, and now here's where you have to kick in your imagination like Ellen White tells us to picture every scene. It says, the one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald encircled his throne like a rainbow. 24 elders surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on the thrones. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. So who do you think are the elders sitting on these thrones? I think we've talked about this before. These may be some of those who were raised from the dead, the first fruits after Jesus' resurrection. So it could be Adam and Eve, Elijah, Moses. We don't know who those elders are, but they are not angels. They are not God. The elders, I'm guessing, are those who have gone ahead, the first fruits. And we don't know who those people are, but imagine, what if it is Moses and Elijah and some of the great heroes from Hebrews 11 sitting on those thrones, behind God's throne with the rainbow clouds, the beautiful colors. And it says, from the throne in the midst of that scene, and you're standing before that with Jesus because he is announcing your name to this group. He says, from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. And we don't know what all the symbolism means, but some sort of all-seeing representation, because this is John gone to a dimension that no human can comprehend. He is standing before the throne of God, and these creatures are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Can you picture being there? Because this is the message to Sardis. Take that little spark that's still in you. Remember back to the commitments that you made when you were a child. And picture what heaven could be like, because he wants to take us there. Amen? And so, like Paul, we need to keep that vision before us, so that the vision of our future doesn't get crowded out by work and by television and by all these things that surround us. I want to close with one last verse. Hebrews 12, 1-3. This is one of the passages I've memorized that I try to pray through on a regular basis. So I want you to remember this passage and pray through it every day, because this is how Jesus Christ himself got through this world, the temptations, all of it. He got through it in this way. And so it's referring back to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us," because it is a race, isn't it? It is a rat race. He says, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured for sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." Keep the finish line in your mind. Go back to that childhood wonder, the ways that you dreamed about Jesus when you first met him, when you first made that commitment. Dream about heaven and the beauty and the majesty and the amazing place that is before us. And allow those things to guide your actions every day, your commitments, what you do. Allow those things to lead you home, like the song that was sung for special music. Dream about home, dream about going there, and invite those to which you'd like to take along. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious vision of heaven. We thank you for the smiles, the dreams, the joy, and the wonder of the children in our midst. Thank you for Wallace. I thank you for Allie. I thank you for the joy that radiates from their faces. I thank you for their grandfathers, the spiritual leaders in their lives who are here today to baptize them. And Lord, we welcome them into our church family, and we pray for your blessings upon them. May we team up together. May we guide our children, and may you bless us as we journey together. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing. Who would like to make a motion to accept Wallace and Allie into membership of the English Oaks Church? And a second? Everybody in favor of them being official members, say amen. Amen. You can do better than that. A little louder, amen. 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 God bless you.